And then, oh, hold it. And
then, where are you going, Ryan?
Two.
Where are you going?
it took us all day yesterday to get that set up for you.
It was all part of the plot.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for delaying. I didn't want to miss this.
Well, the vice chair was deferential and
he was gave, ready to hit the gavel and start.
So, good morning, counselors. As you know, one of your priorities of government is economic development. And we have a number of initiatives underway to help spur economic development in this county, the principal among which are the partnerships that Jeff Swanson has worked to establish in the community. And one of the partnerships is sitting right in front of you here. And it's been some time since we've had Mike Bomar, president of the Columbia River Economic Development Council, make a presentation to the board about their efforts and the partnership and the teamwork that that we've established between the county and that organization. So I'll turn it over to Jeff Swanson, our economic development manager, to make some introductory remarks.
Morning, counselors. We're pleased to have Mike Bomar, president of the CREDC, with us today, and you have two items in front of you. One is a slide deck for today's presentation, and the other is a slide deck for the CREDC's recent annual meeting for your reference. And without further ado, I will turn it over to Mike Bomar, who's going to talk about our partnership with the CREDC and activities going on in Clark County.
Mike? Thank you. Thank you, counselors, for having me here today. I know you have a busy schedule, and I appreciate the importance that you place on jobs and in economic development in Clark County. And along that line, I'll just say that the work that we do, and I'll cover that today, but it really doesn't happen at all without strong economic development partners and without the importance and the resources that you bring to economic development. And I'll just say both Mark and specifically with a lot of the work that we do with Jeff, it's great to have the strength of that partner and also the culture that you've created in the county for jobs and economic development. So just a leading thank you for that. And again, I'll go through, I'm going to front load county specific here, and then we can get into some broader stuff as well too. But feel free to interrupt at any time with questions, and just happy to talk about what we've been up to. So our mission is to develop a strong and innovative Clark County, a Washington business environment in collaboration with our private and public partners. And the easiest way that I break this down is we're both a concierge for business and a connector. So we're the ones that we try to make it a really friendly environment and help bring resources and information to businesses and also help coordinate efforts so that they can be efficient within Clark County. Our geographic territory is just Clark County. We're one of 34 ADOs throughout the state that work on this work on economic development. We have an ADO contract with the county. The 2013-15 biennial is coming up here. I think it'll be notified in March and expires June 30th. Just a real quick on the metrics there. These are things that we commit to within that contract. We met 128% of our goal on business recruitment, 100% of our trade show commitments, 310% of our business retention and expansion commitments, 104% on business referrals to partners, 170% on business startup assistance, and 100% on our land for jobs commitments within that contract. Specifically with Clark County, I wanted to go over some of the connections that we have that help us to stay informed on the work that you're doing and then also be able to get feedback from you on work that we can and should be doing. For recruitment and expansion, retention leads, we work, Denise and Max in our office work almost on a daily basis, I think, with Jeff on things that we hear from businesses in the county or businesses that are looking to come to Clark County, and there may be space or an option available with an unincorporated. Jeff is our lead on that and works closely with our staff. Councilmember Stewart works on our executive and our board, and she has experience in her other roles there, and it's great to have her on, and we appreciate that and excited to work with her at the board level. Jeff's also on our Lands for Jobs Committee, and also quarterly we meet with Economic Development Partners Work Group. That's staff level, key economic development staff from various jurisdictions meet talk about best practices, what they're seeing, and activities. It just helps us kind of get a sense of what's going on within the communities within Clark County on economic development. CRDC is also represented by Helen Devery on your EDAT, your Economic Development Action Team, and Denise in our office, our Vice President, serves on your Railroad Advisory Board. Support. So currently, a lot of the work Elizabeth and I in our office focus on policy, and we have adopted our legislative priorities, which includes the 179th project and other key projects for the county, doing a lot of work with our partners statewide on and our local legislators on supporting local projects and making sure that if there is a package, that Clark County is well represented, and that over the length of that package, we're able to provide the infrastructure needed for economic development. We're looking right now at updating our 2011 lands inventory, and so I actually have a meeting tomorrow with Todd Johnson, who I know is working with you on several projects, and Helen Devery to go over what the scope of that would look like, making sure, again, we have a very tangible deliverable that is meaningful and useful, and not a policy exercise, but just something that we can really use as strategic document going forward. Site readiness and infrastructure alignment and efficiencies. The utilities are meeting with our board next week to go over the state of the utilities and update for them. And we work a lot on coordinating utility investment, both public and private, to make sure that's efficient as well, too. We support your aggressive jobs plan in the county. We're working on the, and have testified there and are tuned in on supporting jobs growth and planning for jobs growth within the county. We have invited, I serve on the Responsible Growth Forum board as well. We've invited Carol Levinen to come out and talk with us about some of the work that they're doing and talking about how we can make that really coexist and work well within an aggressive job strategy.
Mike, the aggressive jobs plan, can you describe that in a little more detail?
Yeah, so looking at your jobs to household, the assumption specifically that you've had, and also looking at being able to create an environment where more Clark County residents can have jobs within Clark County and we can build the economy locally here. Those are the areas that we're looking at. How do we support those strategies? How do we, from the broad aspects, the different areas that we serve, how do we facilitate that?
So it's a strategy, it's an environment rather than a plan.
We rely on both our 2011 economic development plan as far as specific sectors or action items, and then also your specific comprehensive planning as well as feedback from the cities. So we adapt to the individual plans within both the cities and the counties and those efforts to try to figure out how that is complementary and can coexist with what we've seen from the outside folks looking at economic opportunities. And then Chalachi Prairie, a lot of discussion on that as well, too, and feedback from both internal stakeholders as well as external stakeholders talking about how to make the best use of that Chalachi rail line. Talking with folks that have done similar things, looking at trends that are going on within the rail requirements, what's needed as more volume is being seen on the lines. What does that mean for the potential for Chalachi Prairie? Working with Port of Vancouver, working with Jeff and his partners on how do we help develop a strategy that'll create the best return for the Chalachi Prairie investments.
Mike, before you get too far from that, the Railroad Advisory Group up there, I don't think we've ever had a report from them. And we don't know what page they're on and where they're going. I don't know, Jeff, if you've been in some direction with them. I guess I'm looking for something from the Railroad Advisory Board.
I think that's something that we could subsequently schedule if that's of interest to the
county. And the reason I say that because I don't know if we're all on the same page with them. They've been basically silent with this board. And I didn't know how much you were.
I meet with them. I meet with them monthly, and their role as an advisory board is to advise the county manager and the county council on issues pertaining to the Chalachi Prairie Railroad. So essentially, our meetings consist of three reports: one from the railroad operator, Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad, Eric Temple; one from the BYCX on their activities; and one from the county regarding our activities to rehabilitate the line and drive investment in the line. Their role then is to give all of us feedback on how we're making use of that asset, and then when substantial policy issues come up, they might write a letter to the Board of Counselors or speak with the county manager regarding a particular issue.
How often do they meet? And
they
meet every month.
Second Monday of the month, 4 o'clock in this room.
I'm assuming they have something on their agenda every month. We don't hear it.
It's these periodic updates.
I don't think we ever had one.
So, well, I'd be happy to arrange.
It'd be nice to know, as long as they're there and they're serving as an advisory group to the board, that we hear from them.
Certainly. And I'll get something scheduled, sir.
So I want to give you a couple of highlights first to 2014 and a current project that's going on. Sometimes it gets challenging to understand the work that we do relative to the work that either county staff does or other regional partners do. And there's some work that we do very direct with companies. Other is really about just knowing and making the right referrals to the right partners. We don't discriminate within the county where a company locates. So anywhere within Clark County, what we do is try to figure out what their needs are and then do what we can to best meet their needs, the most cost-efficient and appropriate either location or response to whatever that need might be. So I apologize for being a little bit covert agent style here, but we very much respect the privacy of the companies that we work with, particularly on business growth and recruitment, employee sensitivities, I'm sure, as you can understand. So we tend to be overly secretive, and then certainly if there's something that you need to know, we can look at how much we can possibly give you on any given project. Again, Jeff is privy to a lot of this as well, too, and try to keep him up to speed so that we can get good feedback from the county. Supernova, it's an energy efficiency company, growing rapidly, doing a lot of work with municipal lighting leads, agriculture, private business energy, and we're currently doing, through our federal JIAC grant, that's the Jobs Innovation Accelerator Challenge Grant, we're doing product certification assistance with them for new products coming into market. So I'll just say we have one of their lights in our office, and one of the plants that grew so fast it fell over. It's just a monster Frankenstein plant, and it's already growing back up again. We had to cut it off. But cool products. It's part of the fun part of the job. We get to see some cool, innovative things that our local companies are doing. Recruitment project, Project Jellies, and we can't announce this now because it's public. Evergreen Plastics up there off of Minnehaha, and I believe it's 78th. Worked closely with them, bottle manufacturer that moved over from Portland, 5.2 acres. Helped connect them with a local contractor, and they're I think they're almost complete, 50,000 square foot manufacturing center there. They have about 30 FTEs and are growing as well.
And I'm curious, as a bottle manufacturer, do they run competition with Anderson, or do they have a different niche?
I'm not sure specifically on Evergreen Plastics. I could look into that.
Just curiosity.
We've assisted Evergreen Plastics as well, Anderson Plastics as well. I think that was the year prior to me coming in.
We would like to see everybody successful.
Yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't be specifically recruiting for somebody to compete with. A lot of times, though, some of the competitive advantages that exist, whether it's low energy costs or business-friendly environment, permitting, those types of things, will attract similar companies that do compete. So we don't keep them from coming, but we certainly understand the sensitivities there. This is a current one that we're working on. It's Project Sand. And don't ask me about the project staff names these, and I have no idea. They have their own coding way. So it's located and unincorporated. It's a small high-technology firm. They do chemical etching, circuitry application, and dynamic media processing on silicone wafers. They're growing rapidly, looking at needing new space. So they were looking for partners and strategic decision information about capital investment, real estate investment. We've notified them that they qualify for a tax credit, and we don't give tax advice. We just show them things that they might qualify for based on what we hear, and then they work with their consultants and professionals to figure out if those are valid or not. So they were able to save quite a bit. It allowed them to purchase a processing unit, expand some of their production capabilities, and then we also connected them with some tax resources and a business attorney that helped them reclassify themselves. So, again, a lot of that just connection, helping them to understand. They get bombarded with stuff all the time, and it's a nice service for us to be able to be a one-stop shop, so to speak, for businesses to be able to connect with resources to help guide them a little bit on what opportunities there are out there, what they might not be thinking about that could help them be more productive or competitive. This is just a broad overview. If you haven't looked at the Clark County Economic Development Plan, it's up on our website. You can download that as well, too. But in very short order, the five main goals and areas that really define how we staff and what our work initiatives are. The first is to help become more of a technology, high-tech hub in the region. We have a strong cluster of larger employers on the east side of Vancouver and in Camas, and then in downtown and throughout Clark County, there's a nice mix of smaller and emerging tech firms, so specifically focusing on how we can support and grow them. Greatly expand the economic development and influence of WSU and Clark College. Again, we're only as strong as our partners in our organization, and these are two excellent partners. Now having seen throughout the state and a little bit of national and international exposure, WSU and Clark are really special, and we're excited to partner with them, and we'll continue to do that. We're working with WSU closely on some of their expanded programming, a partnership with Banfield and Mars Corporation on some potential future work there. Clark College in the North County campus looking at composites and advanced metals and manufacturing and helping them develop and make connections to develop programs there as well. Third is to help make Clark County a hub for international investment. Again, our geographic location, we have some advantages for the Asia-Pacific market, and there's a lot of interest in international investment. A lot of that, just like everything, comes down to personal relationships, and we have strong relationships with our existing CEOs with foreign either headquarters or subsidiaries, and it's great to hear them touting this region, and it helps us open the door to have those discussions with other CEOs about potential investment. The fourth is what I call the business growth pipeline, and I like to kind of think this as the cradle to grave of how we help businesses. A lot of folks don't like to talk about the grave, but really I see it as a full continuum. And what we want to do is help the companies succeed as best as possible, help the workers succeed in Clark County as best as possible. So if a company is either selling or going away, there's resources and partners that we help connect them to that can help retrain, find new jobs in the region. And again, sometimes that's where having those clusters helps out because it helps smooth the bumps when a company does go away to be able to be hired on another local company as well.
Oh, question. Yeah. Speaking of grave, we don't know what's going on with Christensen and Yachts. Yeah. Do you?
So yes and no. A few weeks ago, I talked with Joe. Joe Foggia serves on our board. They're general manager there. And we know that there's transition and ownership transition. We know that there was some, I think it was a cash flow issue. I don't know if it was related to a client or a shift in the economy, but very large units that they're dealing with. So they had a challenge there, and we're working through restructuring with their investors. Since then, we haven't heard much other than they were pending and trying to work out some of the details there. The last couple of days, we understand they've been closed. They have a few folks working on called the missing link, the yacht that's out in the water right now, finishing that unit up. And we have also pinged in with our federal partners on their DARPA contract with the unmanned sub work that they were doing. I can't say much more about that at this point. So we are monitoring that. We've offered to help connect them with various programs as they either push the pause button or ramp down or whatever it is they need to do. So they've been great as far as reaching out to us, but right now we're giving them some space to figure out what they need to do, but just making sure that they know what's available and want to reconnect with them when we can. So this is a lot of work that Max does. We had our pub talks. We've changed that to Growing Clark County. We're going to get out and meet in business locations and do more of roundtables so people see firsthand what these emerging businesses are doing and really focus on that business service piece this year with a lot of the same overall partners and sponsors that we've had. There's work on finding incubator space or creative space for emerging businesses to be able to reduce their overhead costs, use some of that shared space as they're emerging. We're looking at expanding early stage funding, so either seed funding or angel funding capacity. There's a lot in Portland. Unfortunately, sometimes that leads to the businesses moving to Portland to be able to get that funding, and what we're trying to do is establish some of that early stage capacity so we can help businesses grow and stay here. And then in addition to that, there's a third piece there, but I'm blanking on that right now. So there's three legs of that emerging business that we're working on, and we have a great group of local entrepreneur experts and consultants that are working on our entrepreneurship committee that help define those strategies and find the resources. And then fifth is our land for jobs, and that's infrastructure amenities. That's we're working. That includes both the transportation. We're working with various partners, ICC and others, on rail infrastructure. We've met with BNSF to talk about their plans. They're a private company, so obviously they're fairly private, but they were able to give us some good advice and a good partnership there on how do we coordinate with them on either grade-separated crossings to ensure continued access or improved access to economic development corridors or just rail capacity in general. How do we best move those products through the system and take the best economic advantage from business and commerce that's happening here? So great, great work there.
Related to that, I heard that some of the cities, Camas, Washougal, maybe Ridgefield, are coming out and writing letters or doing something to support the oil train commerce. Do you know anything about that? And is there any anything that we can do to influence?
We leave it up to each jurisdiction. We have kind of what we call our rules of engagement suggestions or policies, which is has to do with business predictability. So we want to create a predictable environment following the process, and we've testified following the EPSEC process. I was at Washougal on Monday. They passed a resolution stating their concerns about EPSEC, but were very broad about looking at specifically what the needs for Washougal would be, not only with the Vancouver Energy Terminal project, but just for increased rail capacity through their community. They've identified, and we've worked with our partners at least on one key area where a grade-separated crossing we think is going to be necessary with the increased traffic through there. So we're looking at how do we move that along in a way that both helps with safety and risk issues, but also continues that access into growing economic areas. I haven't heard from Camas, Ridgefield, or what was the other?
I would think Vancouver.
But okay. Well, Vancouver's, yeah, they have their resolution, so we testified about, again, on the process as a, just a cautionary there. But we try not to be overly forceful. What we want to do is just make sure that our jurisdictions understand from a business recruitment and business growth standpoint what their policies, what the impacts might be on business growth in the area. So I track that a lot. I typically at a council meeting a week or a commission meeting a week and make sure I'm out there, whether there's a specific item or not, connecting in with what the needs are there. But I'm not aware of those specific communities on support sides. So we would be neutral as far as what each county or what each city wanted to do as far as statements relative to that project.
One of the things that I learned, I was fortunate enough to go back to Wyoming and tour the coal thing. I was disappointed that the primary naysayers have refused to go look. And it's like they are not supporting the economic value of it and don't want to look into the truth of the way they handle the products. And the same with the oil, whether it be oil or coal, it's the same thing. It's just, so as you go about, I would encourage them to look into that. It's a all paid expense by the governor of Wyoming.
And yep, Elizabeth in our office.
Encourage them to go.
Were you the same one that Elizabeth in our office went to, the same
yes.
tour?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go on that trip, wasn't able, had a conflict and couldn't make it, but wanted to make sure we had somebody there. So she's
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I heard great feedback from that. And I know Senator Rivers and Pike were there as well, too. With Vancouver Energy Terminal, we have facilitated several meetings. Their CEOs were in town, I believe it was last week or the week before, and so our board had an opportunity to meet and ask questions of them. Our default is always going to be pro-business. So we've worked with them to the extent that they needed information or connections or community partners. we're doing an assessment of the EIS relative to our 2011, the economic development plan, to talk about what the impacts, both positive and negative, would be for that project. And then based on that, there may or may not be any other action from our board. In the interim, though, what we're trying to do is just make sure we understand the project. We want the safest, best possible project for our community that enhances in the best way possible all of those opportunities. But we don't see a lot of the things going on as mutually exclusive. So what we want to do is make sure that we have a credible assessment of that project, and that we can talk to what we think those impacts might be.
Do you have the contact information for those people back in Wyoming?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
And from what I can tell, I think that there is a legitimate concern as to the rail traffic, and so we would probably want to be supporting more rail separation so that the railroad cars could not be noticed so much because...
It varies throughout the county. I think when you go to the east side, the cities are more impacted because of where the rail is located versus the port and what their options and access are. Certainly Ridgefield runs right through there. We're working on supporting that Pioneer Street crossing and looking at any other potentials there. There are a whole host of private crossings throughout the county that we probably won't wade into, but we'll certainly facilitate discussions and partners connecting on those efforts as well.
Being that the legislature is in session right now, there are a number of bills that are being considered. Is CREDC taking any position on any of those bills?
Yes, and I can get you our legislative priorities. That some of those are very bill-specific. Others are broad, so we can get that to you.
Okay.
Primarily working on the transportation package. We are part of the Clark County Transportation Alliance, so that whole list of projects, we consider all of those as important for the community. So we're working through the various iterations and proposals from both the governor's office, the Senate, and trying to make sure that we can maximize that.
And we've got a I-5 Mill Plain interchange, $80-some million. It's, we're trying to figure out what that is. You know anything about that?
I was on the tours with the representatives that were down here when they discussed the project and its capacity improvements. I don't have the technical. Matt Moranson would probably be the most qualified to talk about the capacity and technical improvements.
Asked him, he didn't know anything about it. I asked WashDOT, they didn't know anything about it. I asked the port, they didn't know anything about it. We were trying to find out who does.
With the Port of Vancouver, we've been working a lot on first last mile issues, certainly with the urban environment, then the port connected into I-5. There's a very small, I think it's about a $7 million project on Mill Plain that helps trucks get through better. And then there's, from the port, they've stated some increased efficiencies there, but I don't know the technical as far as capacity or those things. As far as just kind of addressing the elephant in the room on the CRC project, the relation to the Mill Plain, my comments have been to make sure that if there's investment there, that it makes sense, and it's not something that's going to be torn up in 10 years or whenever that bridge is addressed. So I don't know where they're going to be. I don't know where that's going to land as far as in any package, but they do have some specific things that are specific to Vancouver and to the port freight movement that were looked at as far as the need for reconstructing that interchange. But I have not seen designs on it.
Who would be the person to talk to find out what is that mystery project?
Governor.
Well, no, I actually don't think it would be the governor. I would continue to push Matt to see what they have and what the funds were specifically for that.
Well, I got the one page that's in general, increased capacity, period. I assume it's being driven by the City of Vancouver.
I think it's being supported by the City of Vancouver and the 49th representatives. Specifically, I think that there were some issues. I drive in to downtown from Ridgefield every day and have challenges from a capacity standpoint in sitting in that traffic. So I'm hopeful that there's some congestion relief to get into Vancouver, but I, again, haven't seen the design on that yet, and so I'm not sure specifically.
Is that the problem that I have with it? This project has popped up out of nowhere. Nobody claims to know anything about it, and yet they're trying to designate $82 million on the project.
Councillor, I'm vaguely aware of the project. The Port of Vancouver and the City of Vancouver have been working together on some traffic studies. Of course, as their business grows down in the Port District in the Marine Lowlands, the additional trucks that transit the area connecting from I-5 to the port have to get through the city of Vancouver some way, safely, efficiently.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I'm aware of is the elevation of the traffic light coming out. Other than that, I know of no other problem. I travel that route.
I do have a couple sheets on it that they're probably going to. You may or may not have seen those sheets, and I'm happy to get those to you as well.
A dark secret and a lot of money that they're asking for right now.
Sure.
And I'm having a real issue with it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of design work related to not just getting across the river, but work as part of that I-5 study, and I think that has to do with it. Again, my concerns or my thoughts were, if it's not tied to CRC, what is the overall impact going to be, and concerns about the long-term investment there. $80 million is not a small number. So wanted to make sure that it was consistent with any future plans that might be had there.
At RTC, they moved it up a higher priority than our 179th Street. They put our 179th Street last on the list, $50 million compared to an $80 million mystery project that's higher on the list. We're wondering what's going on.
Well, I can certainly get you what I have, and then again, I would the port, the city, and RTC would be where I would go for more detailed information on that.
And so we will.
All right. And I'm anxious to hear the information as well, too. Always appreciate more details on the project. I see firsthand challenges from a congestion standpoint getting into Vancouver, so I would support anything that would improve capacity, but I haven't looked at the technical reports there on what that would look like. This is just so you have a sense of where our funding comes from. It's our goal to have a good, strong private, kind of a 50% plus one is what we're looking for from private investment to really have that input and the flavor for our organization. And then we obviously as a public-private partnership or balance there. So this is how it shakes out from federal grants, public and private state contract. That includes the Commerce ADO funding and then our private investment as well, too. Over 90% retention of our private investors last year, 100% of our public partners last year, 22,000 in new investment. I think we've actually already exceeded that in January this year with our new investors that have come on, and we've consulted over 100 companies. And these are just some of the logos of companies that we work with. I already mentioned Evergreen Plastics. Current activity, we have over 24 business growth projects. I had one quiet week in December, and I was getting nervous, and right January 2nd, it definitely lit up. So on all fronts, things are moving, a lot of expansion, a lot of that you've already seen announced this year, but some great recruitment projects as well in the pipeline that we're hopeful to announce in the next few months here. It's very diverse in what we're seeing from corporate headquarters, foreign direct investment, bioscience, life science. Certainly with the Knight Cancer Challenge, there's a lot of interest in the region about investment there. Advanced technology and manufacturing, medical services, and IT and software. We've already had one recruitment win in 2015. That was ABM Equipment. It's a company that we've worked with Jeff as well, too. And they're in a temporary location now in Clark County, and we're working with them on finding a good permanent location, and we have a couple good options. We'll be heading down in a couple weeks for a public-private partnership conference in Dallas, working with developers and investors nationally and internationally. Last year, we went with the Port of Kamiswashugal and Ridgefield. This year, Port of Vancouver has joined us, added some horsepower to that as well, and we'll be presenting as a region for some of the great investments that they've made and looking at how can we leverage tools in public-private partnership opportunities there.
Give us some examples. What would that look like? Public-private partnerships in what?
Well, it could be, let's say, Miller's Landing in Ridgefield. It's the ecology cleanup site where they put $8 million in the waterfront there. So it could be a developer doing a land lease from Port of Ridgefield and then building. So some of that's very simple. And then building a site there to either lease out or to sell to potential clients. It's assistance in could be various tools that the ports have as far as aggregation and then being able to then work with a private partner to bring in companies. So there's a whole host of public-private partnerships that are available. Washington State is fairly limited on what the options are there, but it varies from state to state on what those tools are. So part of what I hope to get out of this is some better clarity on what tools we can use and what those might look like, some samples. Right now what we have is port properties that the port have invested funds into preparing or making shovel ready to expedite the permitting process to get those through, and they're looking for private investment to help bring in those private firms and companies in. So in very simple terms, that's what we're looking at, but there may be other tools or things that we can garner from that that would be helpful. Paris Air Show, we're coordinating with both Washington State Department of Commerce, the Governor's Office, and our partners in Greater Portland, Inc. on the air show with the sectors that we have in marine, defense, aerospace, with
Mike, do you need somebody from the county to go with you?
I know we get that every time. It's tough. So we'll be heading out there, meeting with companies. We have local companies here. A lot of them are fairly quiet that supply to Boeing, and some great companies that we'll be working with and leveraging their partnerships and relationships as well, and looking at how do we increase, with the 777X, the work that's being done there, how do we look at making Southwest Washington an attractive place for some of that supply chain to locate and grow here. And then our staff will be also following up on the composite work that we're doing with Clark College, and also as a potential cluster in some of the existing business growth we're seeing, JC Europe in March. We do events throughout the year to help connect businesses to resources. We have a strong partnership with WSU. Our Grow Clark County is again, this, if you've been to our Pub Talk events, this is our new branding of that work. And again, it's more out and about, seeing firsthand what our good emerging companies are doing and helping, again, connect them to each other so they can warn each other on potential pitfalls, but also create a stronger network between the companies. Business After School, we've had great partners with the Chamber, with other folks in our Workforce Development Council on that. And then we do have some fun in July in our Golf Classic. So I have a broader, I don't know how much time we've eaten up here so far, but I have a broader thing if you want to. If not, that's our, I've also included our annual report, which has the overall broad metrics of work that we've done throughout the county with partners, and invite you to take a look at that as well. And I'm happy to go over any of those things too. But with that, I can answer any questions you have.
Pretty impressed with it. I really appreciate what you've done. It's something that we've been pushing for a long, long time at the CREDC, recognizing it as a hub of information to share what they can and when they can. And so thank you. Appreciate it.
So I have a question. Have you been able to identify significant sort of ongoing barriers to businesses that want to locate, for example, in Clark County, anywhere in Clark County? Are there any consistent things we see that could be something corrected by government?
The biggest challenge I see right now is permit timelines, and some of that is federal. A lot of that, you know, depending, a lot of the larger projects that we work with, there's core issues. I talked with one of Jamie Herrera's staff this morning on some potential things that they could do to help businesses on core permits and helping expedite that. There's state issues. Generally, our local partners, and I've been in this on representing construction development companies for the last decade, I'm very encouraged as far as how business friendly in general, both the county and the cities have been. But those are the things that we consistently hear, particularly for companies that are coming, let's say, from Texas or from somewhere else with looser permitting regulations. For good reasons, we have environmental restrictions here, but if we're going to, and we should, both protect our quality of life and promote business, we need to have the most efficient system possible. And so that would be the biggest from a barrier standpoint, is just meeting those aggressive timelines. Existing, I think I heard yesterday that industrial vacancy rate's about 3% in the county. There are there's some space being added to that, some expanding and consolidating companies that will open up a little bit of space, but that's a challenge because there's a lot of the companies are wanting existing. They want to move fast, and so trying to meet those timelines is a challenge. Some of that's potentially there are things that government can do, but I would just say specifically on the permitting timeline, just being as efficient as you can be would be the best potential. And the county's done a great job to those ends. Again, I've worked the last few years, but always looking at how do we take the next step in being efficient and being innovative and how we move those things forward within our control.
Let's hear those numbers. Is 3% good or bad?
So 5% is considered full, so 3% is more than full. And so just 5% covers for kind of the transactional work of what goes on. So that's very tight. Again, we just did a groundbreaking with the Logistics Center on Club 205 last week. The port's looking at 100,000 square feet at CIP for their remaining portion there. The port of Camas Washougal is looking at adding a significant space, and then we have several private sector folks that are adding decent-sized chunks that will help that. My concern is with the current absorption rate, I don't want to have a point where we're turning companies away. So we're being very aggressive and bullish and trying to get that stuff up and politely encouraging our partners, both private and public, to move quickly on those things.
Have you heard from Fred Myers?
I've heard of several potential projects related to Fred Myers.
They had been in to talk to each of us, and they're excited about siting and was asking about the fee holiday. Want to know... they were impressed by it and wanted to build. They were concerned about the time frame that we might cut off. And I didn't give any commitment, but they were impressed with and excited about moving forward. So I...
Generally, our focus on traded sector, we would support those efforts, but we're not directly involved on that work. So if we're working with... a similar firm, I can't say too much, but it's a headquarters portion of a division that they're working on. It's not the actual retail space. So what we try to do is just support that strong mix there and allow those developments to occur. So
Mike, I got a question. When it comes to your sampling of the feedback that's coming from outside of this bubble here, when it comes to our permitting speed, our permitting how easy it is or how difficult it is to work with the county. Can you give us some honest feedback?
Yeah, I've heard very positive things, developers know my number, and they call me when they don't have a good experience, so I certainly would let you know, but I've heard very positive things. There's a lot of just always general frustration on timelines again and things like that, but there's also kind of an understanding and expectation of how the status quo is. So I think continuing to show, to be innovative, to use online tools and tech tools, on the work I did with Deeb, Jamal, Jim, in your permitting, your building official.
Muir.
Jim Muir. Sorry. Jamal's with a consulting firm. Jim Muir did some great work on the video inspection work and just being innovative like that. I think both sends a signal to businesses that you're looking at ways to be innovative. To the extent that you can expedite those things within the county control, it's always good.
We encourage everybody, if there be any particular hang-up that somebody's trying to get something through and it's somehow it's stuck somewhere, it's going too slow, call Mark, call us. We'll do what we can to identify not only the fix on that particular one, but maybe the category or the situation that tripped that one up. If we can clear up that bottleneck, we can clear it up for those that will follow as well. When it comes to our transportation improvement program or projects, our six-year list. How's that looking when it comes to how accurate are we being here when it comes to hitting the real needs for transportation improvements?
I haven't honestly been tracking the local tip as much on projects. I've been working with a contractor and been working with Jeff on some challenges that they've been having on timeline and for their workforce, the impact it has on that this week on some specific projects. But from a strategic standpoint, I haven't looked into the local, how that ties in. So I've seen the list, but I couldn't tell you that I can give you that answer.
Well, the invitation is there to give us feedback and help us to know if there's some fine-tuning or some emphasis that we can prioritize to take advantage of better opportunities. By all means, let us know.
We have we're lucky to have some great road contractors, and Kevin Tappany from Tappany serves on our board. Rachi is a great partner of ours, and we're close with the Nutter Corporation as well too. And so I will reach out to those folks and just let them know that we're interested in their feedback on where things are going.
Great,
awesome. All right,
thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike, I'd like to thank you personally for the leadership you've demonstrated since taking over this role. I think you've made great strides since you joined the organization, and the partnership that you and Jeff have is truly impressive. So thank you very much.
That's
for
good.
Coming today.
And thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, again, it's I appreciate that. I feel like I've been surrounded by some really qualified, credible people, both our partners and our internal staff, and so I I really appreciate the thanks and don't undervalue both our internal and external partners in the success.
By all means, pass our gratitude on to your staff.
Absolutely.
And I want to indicate I sat on the CTRAM board for 6 years in the past, and that was through a couple renditions of leadership, really, where there were different emphasis, different things were tried.
You said CTRAM. Did you mean CRE?
I meant CREDC. I'll talk to you about CTRAM later. It's on my mind today. So the leadership had different thrusts, different barriers, and different issues that they were dealing with. Mike has made it through the hard work and through the organization. He's reorganized it with can-do people and people that are enthusiastic and care about this forward movement. And that's his personality, too. I don't know how long I've known you, but maybe 10 years or longer, seen you through your SWACA. Is that Southwest Washington Contractors Association and other professional capacities? So he's CREDC is a whole new ball game.
Thank you.
Councilors, that exhausts the agenda for today. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't feel exhausted at all.